11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch begins now. And so I've seen snippets, tidbits, little social media plankton floating by in my timeline about this. Caleb Williams didn't want to go to the Bears story that apparently is in a book by Seth Wickersham. Jesse, can you catch me up on what I've missed?
How does this guy get everybody to talk to him? You can't get Dick Bennett to talk to you about a book that you want to write to glaze. No offense, but you'd be glazing Richard P. Bennett.
He doesn't want to be glazed. Yeah, he doesn't want to be glazed.
He needs to be glazed.
The more I think
about this, you need to write this book. But this Wickersham, he gets inside the Patriots deal. He gets all the juice. He gets all the plankton, as you put it. And how's he getting this book written a year later?
That's a great question.
Great job, Wick. Great job, Wick.
I don't know if he goes by Wick, per se. But, look, I don't understand. Jesse, for people like me who have seen bits and pieces of this, get us caught up.
So there is a book coming out from Wick, Seth Wickersham.
Bob Wickman, former Brewers pitcher.
The book is called American Kings, A Biography of the Quarterback, and it will come out this September. And in the book, as part of the promotion for it, this story came out, I think, last Friday is when it first surfaced. And there's a snippet that's been shared of Caleb Williams and his father, Carl Williams, who were talking about Caleb going to play for the Chicago Bears. And Carl Williams said, as one of the excerpts from the book, quote, "Chicago is the place quarterbacks go to die."
No lies detected.
Caleb Williams wondered aloud to confidants, quote, "Do I want to go there? I don't think I can do it with Shane Waldron," the former Bears offensive coordinator.
He was right about that, too.
So a lot of this came up. When this first came out, I think the initial reaction from a lot of people was, wow, Caleb Williams really doesn't want to play for the Chicago Bears. Isn't that funny? The Bears stink. And then as we looked further into it and he did a little more reading on all the different subjects of it, he didn't, really. He was wondering about where else he could go play and how he could manipulate the draft to not play for the Bears. Which is shocking.
Including going to UFL?
Which is shocking that this would all be shared in the... Again, how does Seth Wickersham get this out of people? I don't know, especially at this stage of the game. But the good news for Caleb Williams is that everyone he was upset about and concerned about going to Chicago to play with is basically gone now. Waldron's gone. Eberflus is gone. They've redone the whole thing with Ben Johnson in there as the head coach now, the former Lions offensive coordinator. And so... while there was some consternation and there was some speculation about how Caleb Williams would want to avoid going to Chicago, in the end, after one season, he's gotten his way. But also that first season, it dives into how he wasn't getting coached up. No one was watching film with him. He was just basically handed the remote in the film room and said, "Here you go, figure it out." So not the best operation for the Chicago Bears. They ultimately look pretty bad in this.
So is that typical, Tausch, that you don't teach guys how to watch film? Like, did you have to learn to watch film at the NFL level?
What do you think?
I don't think that's typical.
That's not typical. And I think there were, if you recall, there were rumors about Caleb Williams trying to Eli Manning it when the Bears got that first pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it got poo-pooed a little bit. And that's why sometimes, it's, you got to have three reports. Yeah, I get all that. I'm not a journalist. You are, so you have to abide by that. But typically when there's a little smoke, there's some fire. And there's so many insiders and so many avenues now of NFL reportage that when stuff like this comes out and there's not like an immediate na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, you listen a little bit. And the Bears, obviously, it was dysfunctional. And we saw that the way Eberflus, you know, kind of did his thing, and you know, Seth Waldron. It was just bad news Bears type stuff.
It really was bad news Bears.
I think now you're looking at a more professional, and you know, Ben Johnson. I don't know about that cat. He's quirky.
Quirky.
Yeah, but there's no doubt he's a smart offensive mind. Can he lead men? We'll find out. I don't know. But I just saw today they just got Joe Tooney a new extension. He's going to be their left guard for 3 years. They draft guys. They have bulked up front to give Caleb Williams a chance to have a chance. We saw what Jared Goff was pre-Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. Not great. Enough so that Sean McVay said, I can't win with him. I will trade him and a first-round pick to get him the heck out of here. So the Bears, I think, are on a better path, but it shouldn't come as any surprise to anyone, even Bear fans. I would bet Jim Rutledge on Jim, Matt, and Molly tonight will say, yeah, I believe this story. I'm sure this what this is being reported as, I get it. I believe it. And that's how you build a culture of losing and how you build a culture of not having a quarterback have any success since Sid Blankenluckman back in, what, the 20s? So here we go. You have somebody I think you feel like has talent. Talent isn't going to just get it done by itself. You better have some pieces around you, and you better have coaches that are nurturing you and bringing you around so that you can grow into being the player you are. Because there's nobody, and I always bring this up, but Peyton Manning, who's going to go as one of the greats, all-time leader in interceptions in a season. His rookie year,
not for a career, Brett Favre has that record.
28 picks in a season. And I think Brett, in fairness, Brett came close a few times to getting over that hump.
29 in 05.
But Peyton, well, maybe he threw more. Maybe it's just as a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm. It was bad. It was a lot. But to your point, and look, we have audio of your guy Wick, as you so affectionately call him, because you guys go back so far, discussing this. We will hear that coming up next. After Tausch tells us about his love of Coors Lights and how he would never try to find his way to a different beer.
If you had to predict right now, who's finishing dead last in the NFC North?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Agreed.
Jesse?
Vikings.
Okay, I'm going to say Bears. I'm sticking with the Bears.
Okay. Should we pull it?
I'm also sticking with Coors Light because I love me some Coors Light. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp, but it's only 102 calories. And I'm guessing if you're a Rockies fan, you're tipping back quite a few Coors Lights this season. I know I tipped back a few Coors Lights up in Green Lake this last weekend. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm going to make a command decision here. Because Lori in the ESPN Madison YouTube chat, because they do serve ice cream drinks as a capper to your evening, she says the supper club is called Files.
Yeah, F-E-I-L-S. Yeah, I didn't know Lori got the Trump card in order to put out what we cannot say, but I agree with Lori. It's a really good spot.
Okay, you said that they served ice cream to cap off your meal. And that is our standard, like Burger King.
They have traditionally been a partner of our station up at ESPN Beaver Dam. So I think it's okay talking about Files Supper Club and Randolph. Yeah.
All right, we're going to hear from some folks' reaction.
Only about 27 minutes from Sun Prairie, too. Not a bad little hike. If you're looking for a great little supper.
Only about 27 minutes?
That's oddly
specific. Yeah, I think that's about where it was at.
Okay, well, we'll be back in about 4.5 minutes to hear some of the reactions to this Caleb Williams story. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Jesse has put the poll question in the field. Which team do you believe will finish last in the NFC North this coming season? Packers, Bears, Vikings,
y'all
Lions.
Are sleeping. I feel like y'all are doing what I did last year. You're sleeping on them. Sleeping on them Minnesota Vikings.
Overestimating how good the Green Bay Packers are?
Oh, you think the Packers are going to finish last?
No, I think he's saying you overestimated them last year.
I'm just asking the question, Tausch.
I picked them to go 11-6, and I took Detroit to win the division. What the hell are you talking about? I overestimated them. I underestimated Minnesota. 100% guilty as charged, Your Honor. I picked Green Bay to go 11-6 and lose to the Lions, win the division.
You did.
How did I overestimate that?
You were talking about them, despite all the sloppiness late in the season. You were claiming.
Did I pick? Whoa! Did I pick Philly to win, or did I pick Green Bay to win?
You said the winner of the game will win the Super Bowl.
You did say that.
And who did
I remember that very clearly?
And who did I pick on the Friday before the game?
I don't remember.
Oh, it's funny you don't remember when it doesn't fit your narrative. I picked the Philadelphia Eagles to beat Green Bay.
We have your headlines.
Get out of here with that nonsense. And by the way, if Green Bay beat Philly, I think they would have went to the Super Bowl. Well, I think they would have.
Okay, well, you're entitled to your opinion on that. This seems like a good time for...
Overestimate the Green Bay Packers.
Sometimes,
that is not
no question.
Jesse's
hey,
voice.
By the way...
That was not Jesse.
By the way, Jesse, I can't argue. I do sometimes. I have.
Frequently.
But last year ain't it. Last year ain't it.
Jacob Westendorf on Twitter. He writes for the SI Packers page, helps out Bill Huber over there. The Los Angeles Rams were on the Eagles' 13-yard line, trailing by 6 points late in the fourth quarter. Green Bay wasn't within one score from 7:36 onward in the fourth quarter. I know some of their players have said it, but we can stop with the Green Bay gave Philly the strongest test nonsense.
Jacob. Listen,
I'm
not
on Team
St.
Jacob.
I was trying to tell you that last week.
You were. That's why I brought this up.
I am bringing the Rams played them tough. Green Bay's offense was inept.
Is that not part of the game?
Did the Rams turn it over four times and still it's 16-10 with 14 minutes to go? I don't remember. I don't know. The Rams gave them a good game. I'm not arguing. But let's not revisionist history this thing. The Packers could not have played worse on offense. They couldn't
right,
have.
But isn't that part
All
of whether
I've
or
said,
not they gave them the challenge that you're
Jason,
claiming they did?
I never said that they were bad. All this other stuff. I picked Philly to win. Philly was better. But Green Bay played a clunker. Their offense stunk. But their defense was better against them than what the Rams did against Philly. Period, Finn. Go ahead and look at those stats.
I understand. I think the point that Jacob makes is a valid one.
Yes.
Because it
I'm
does
not saying
count
it's not.
That the offense turned the and the special teams and the offense turned the ball over four times if you're arguing that they gave them the best chance because this game, it was never more than a 7-point game at any point.
The Rams game.
What was it?
The Rams
it?
Game. No, wait.
They were ahead by 13. No.
It was 13.
Philly was ahead by 13.
No. I was going through the game book. I was scrolling down. It was 22-15, and then Barkley had a 78-yard run that made it 28-15 with 4:36 to go.
Yeah.
And then the Rams scored with 2:48 left.
Okay, great. Yeah, the Rams played Philly tough, but my point was whoever won that game, Green Bay wasn't playing the Rams. They were going to play at Detroit.
Uh-huh.
We saw what happened to Detroit against Washington. Now all of a sudden, you're in an NFC championship game. So I get it. I'm not revisionist as history in this bad boy.
Kind
of. All I'm telling you is Green Bay's defense dominated the Philadelphia Eagles.
I agree with
that
statement. Yeah, until they needed that last stop. But I think the point that I'm...
Well, at some point, you get bludgeoned all day and you get put on the field all afternoon. Something's going to happen.
It's very fair. Yeah, all true.
Jason, the offense sucked. And by the way, you know who else thought that way?
Yeah, Matt LaFleur. Yep.
And Brian Gutekunst. No, Brian Gutekunst.
Well, Matt LaFleur at the on the stage with us at the Tundra Trio said something similar.
Yes, he did that too. Yeah. But Brian Gutekunst also said, we better get better in the middle. And I'm looking here. I think their draft, first three picks, the first 87, 54 and 23rd pick. Did they go defense or did they go offense?
That's just the way the board fell.
No, what? How did it go?
Offense.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Interesting. Point proven. Case dismissed.
Let's hear from Wick. The reason why this was germane is that, is it possible that no one on this panel, certainly not me, because I don't want to deal with the smoke, has the gumption to suggest that perhaps the local squad would be fourth in the division somehow this year?
Well, Jesse just said that we might be overestimating.
No, he was accusing you of having done that in the
past. This is not going to happen for a second straight day.
Especially this late in the show.
Well, George will be real irritated if that happens.
Let's hear what Seth Wickersham had to say about his Caleb Williams story in his book.
Caleb had some reservations about the Bears after they met at the Combine, and he met at the Combine with Kevin O'Connell of the Vikings, and he was really swept up in the ideas of what they might be able to do together. You know, Kevin O'Connell speaks quarterback in a way that Matt Eberflus did not, and I think that Caleb was thinking like, hey, I need to go to Minnesota. Is there a way to do this? Carl had looked into all these methods. It didn't really look like there was a loophole or a way to exploit it to get around the draft. And so that kind of left the option of trying to nuke the city and make the situation untenable.
So, look, I don't want to call something a nothing burger because this has gotten a lot of attention. But Caleb Williams and his dad were right about the Bears. That's why the Bears have cleaned house on their coaching staff and hired the 2025 version, they hope, of Mike Holmgren, who was the guy everyone wanted in 1992 coming out of San Francisco and working for Bill Walsh, and the Packers got him. And guess what? They were the place no one wanted to go, and quarterbacks' careers went to die. So I don't understand. Help me understand this. Like, he was right about the Bears. It doesn't mean that's how he feels now. And what he endured last year would underscore the fact that he was right about the Bears. Right? Like, am I missing a point here? Am I being obtuse, as I was accused of being yesterday?
Oh, are you done? I didn't know. Your voice didn't tail off like it normally does. You're not being obtuse.
We'll see you next time.
What happened to the Bears? It proves the point of what Wickersham writes in his book. So I guess I understand. If you pay attention to these things, we all knew that this was the case. We all thought that Caleb was such a special talent because everybody had him pegged other than Orlovsky. Orlovsky had Jaden Daniels ahead of Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels had, now you could say, well, was it because of the coaching and because of the other talent around? I don't know. I mean, we'll find out as their careers continue to unwind how that all shakes out. But I know this, there's no more excuses for Caleb Williams.
Correct.
Oh, the O-line's not good enough. Well, they just went and bumped, paid a bunch of guys money, and the O-line should be better. Well, the coaching sucks. Nobody helps me with film study. Ben Johnson pulled a Lazarus with Jared Goff. He Lazarus-assisted Jared Goff. Now with Caleb Williams, you're looking at it like, this doesn't need to be a water-to-wine situation. This is just be, let's get some wine, get it on the table, let's go drink.
It's not what Lazarus did.
No, he knows. He's mixing his biblical references. He doesn't have to turn. He doesn't have to multiply four loaves and two fish or whatever it was either.
But ironically, you just bring that up, Jason.
Uh-huh.
he's not going to go out there and catch the fish. His job now is to give him the fishing pole and give him some good bait. And it's not no longer, I'm not going to just fire fish up on your plate. Go out. I am going to teach you, a.k.a. film study. I'm going to get you the proper tools, whether it's offensive line or receivers mm-hmm. or system, a.k.a. hooks and bait and things like that. And you're going to go out, and you're going to lead us on a great fishing expedition that we expect to be bountiful to feed a city that is starving for a fish fry. They're starving for it. And instead of us saying, oh, we'll throw you one big old fish and you guys scrounge for it, their goal is that old boy is going to be whipping fish in left and right, and you're going to have a fish fry of a lifetime. That's what the goal is down in Chicago.
Jesse, let's play one other clip. Do you want to play Sylvie or do you want to play Courtney?
I was thinking, I think that deserved more than a yeah. I thought that was pretty good. And I don't feel like you gave me the proper shine that whole thing went to.
That was so good.
I didn't know you needed to be glazed this much.
Well, that was pretty good.
It was good.
A
I believe I had already credited
they are
you.
Starving for winning.
Yeah,
and we're trying to give
fish. Yeah. Jesus didn't fry the fish, from what I understand.
Did he go to File Supper Club, though? Courtney Cronin, the Rob Domofsky of the Chicago Bears, covers them for ESPN.com. She was hosting Game Night on ESPN Radio the other day, and she weighed in on this, which I thought was interesting insight as to what this means for Caleb Williams going into next season, kind of what we were talking about here.
I don't think this is going to affect Caleb in his second season with the Bears. There's a brand new coaching staff, and if you read the news story that's up at ESPN.com that has like a collection of quotes from Caleb, from his father, and just kind of painting the picture of what went wrong his rookie season, a lot of those issues have been alleviated already. They went out and got the best head coach they could of this coaching cycle, somebody who Caleb is really eager to work with. He wasn't eager to work with Shane Waldron because he wasn't sure Shane Waldron knew what the hell he was doing. He said it in the excerpt that is up at ESPN.com right now, that he didn't know he could trust him. From my understanding of talking with people in the building, I don't think the Bears thought they could trust Shane Waldron.
So that kind of echoes what you guys were saying
talking
all along.
Talking to people in the building. Now, Josh DiMaggio, who I never understand why he doesn't just pot up his microphone. Because
it's the way we're set up here. Like we would have to be like, we can throw to him if you want to, and then
he texts in on the private talk and text line. Josh DiMaggio, producer of Jen Gabe.
Also tough to know when he's actually listening to the show sometimes.
That's
he's
fair when he's
kind of in and out.
Isn't the big takeaway from this about how active his father is in all of it and the level of entitlement implied by all of this? If he doesn't win and win fast, will there be finger pointing? No, I disagree because I don't want to say that this is a what's the ball dad? LaMelo
Lamar
who?
LaVar Ball.
LaVar Ball.
LaVar.
Yeah. And I don't think this is entitlement. I think this is I'm going to be the number one overall pick and this team is dysfunctional and I don't want to go there. Like John Elway, like Eli Manning. And by the way, he was right about the dysfunction in Chicago. That's why they blew out their staff.
John Elway and Eli Manning were right.
Yeah.
Well, they were.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how bad the Chargers were during the Eli Manning saga. I do agree that.
Does he have two Super Bowls if he plays for the Chargers?
No.
Does old boy have two Super Bowls if he's stuck with the Baltimore / Indy Colts?
Maybe. He was that good, though.
No. No.
You don't think so?
No.
This one's for John, says Jim Irsay. Well, that's an interesting world to live in. All right, I think we've gotten to the bottom of this. Again, he's going to be under pressure regardless. Caleb Williams is the Chicago savior. He has to. They've been starving. I'm sorry. Do your fish fry thing again. Go ahead. I'll give you more shine.
I didn't get the response that I wanted to. But I will say this: the Bears are moving out to Arlington. You're not on the lake anymore, Caleb. You don't have to walk on water. It's grass out there now.
God, that was so good, Tausch. He's moving out to Galilee instead of staying in the big city.
Don't patronize me, bro.
I'm not. I'm just making a joke. Whoa, Nelly is next, and that's where everything went off the rails yesterday.
So you want to make sure you stick around for it. Who's Jesse firing today? Oh, I can't wait.
See you, Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers, deuces be.
That's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Love is a blaze, I saw flames from the side of the stage. And the fire brigade comes in a couple of days. Until then, we got nothing to say and nothing to know, but something to drink and maybe something to smoke. Let it go until our roads are changed. Singing, we found
that moment you've all been waiting for. Who will Jesse fire today? It's Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
I don't want to fire anybody today, believe it or not.
Fired guy.
I would like to give someone a promotion. Or at least some flowers.
Yeah, Ricky Weeks.
One of our great fans.
Now that was funny.
JR in
Jesse,
the car.
Jesse, you can laugh. Hey, Jesse.
That was funny.
Yes, it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Thanks.
JR in the car texted during Evan Cohen's appearance this morning with us. If you can find it on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Did you hear Evan throw Tausch under the bus on Unsportsmanlike this morning?
What?
Around 5:45 a.m. Not very nice. So,
I missed it, being
the astounding producer that I am, I went and hashtag checked the tape.
Oh, dear.
And I found, thanks to JR for presenting us this case, here is how Evan threw Tausch under the bus this morning.
Oh, God.
So we're going to Madison.
If he ain't got the juice, you'll take care of his
balls. I got it. Don't you worry. I mean, my school did send me swag. I got to go there to
interview.
The
Wisconsin volleyball team sent me swag. I'm good.
No, but I'm talking about the football program.
Well,
shout out to Coach Bielma, who's a friend of the show, been on many times.
Well, Matt LaPay, the voice of the Badgers, did get me swag. Mark Tauscher, the analyst, did not. Pretty particularly bad at what he does, obviously, and hooking up the swag. And could not get us a reservation, if you remember, at that restaurant that we were talking about.
Now, we're several months away. Do you think you'll be able to land the reservation?
How many people you want at this dinner?
That's up to you.
Well, how many people are going to be...
If we're going, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Make it for 20, and then if it's less than that, 20? Whittle it down.
Couple of components there. So first, he's upset that you didn't send him any Wisconsin football swag. And he's also upset that you didn't get the reservation at that restaurant.
And do they serve ice cream at the tornado room?
And apparently the unsportsmanlike crew is coming back to Madison when the college football season rolls around again this year. And so you're going to get a second chance at it. So all that considered, Tausch, how would you like to address this?
I don't really care. I'm not going to sit here. I
Dynamite.
Promise you this. I'm not going to lose any sleep. I didn't. Matt ended up getting the swag, no doubt, but we also got him tickets and a press pass that he blew off and didn't even use and or come. So spare me the I'm going to get all that. I'm not going to get upset about it because he's had these opportunities and he doesn't do it. And he called to get into the tornado room a day before he was coming to town on homecoming. I think it wasn't homecoming, but it was
the Alabama
weekend. He wants to go there. It's Wednesday afternoon. He wants to go there Thursday or Friday, Friday at like 7 o'clock. You do the math on that. Not easy.
It's a fair critique. I agree with everything you said. So are you going to do something different this year then? Now you've got plenty of lead time. It's May 20th.
I'm going to see if I can do less. No, I'm going to actually try and do less than I did last time.
Okay, well, you'll have to live with the consequences.
It's fine.
Whoa, Nelly!
The NBA Conference Finals begin tonight.
Would you guys agree that Evan is a lot meaner to me than I am to him? Like, and it's not close. Is that
you
fair?
Guys? I'll be honest. I mean, you know, he makes jokes about me, and they're very fair.
He predicts your facial expressions.
He did. That was amazing. That was so impressive.
That was pretty good, but not that great because it was pretty easy.
It was not that difficult, sure. But your friendship is an interesting one. Like, there's a lot of chop busting, but there are times where it feels
goes too far.
Like it goes too far. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think Evan has went too far, and I.
You have not. You've never gone that. Too far.
No. When?
Well, I don't know. I don't keep track of your friendship.
Well, you kind of do. You just said it.
No, I
you
only
just
get
evaluated.
It. I'm not. No. I only get the on-air banter that you guys have once a week. But you guys apparently text each other quite a bit. You have meals together when you're both in the same state, ish.
I think we're a lot like you and Rob Domofsky. I think our relationship is very similar to you and Rob's. You know, you guys got some playful banter. You're both kind of in the same industry, kind of doing the same thing. I think you and Domofsky and me and Evan, it's I think, very, very similar.
No, I don't think so. Whoa, Nelly.
I think
Whoa,
so.
Whoa, Nelly.
I think so. I do.
Nope.
I do.
Don't think so.
Yep.
Nope,
it is.
Nope.
Jesse?
Jesse, what else you got?
We bring in NBA insider Mark Tauscher for his conference finals analysis. Tonight, the Western Conference Finals begin on ESPN and
Wolves!
On select ESPN
Wolves!
Radio stations with the Timberwolves and the Thunder. Meanwhile, the Eastern Conference Finals begin tomorrow with the Pacers and the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Tausch, is there a horse we're pulling for now that your guy Joker is out?
I am not pulling for any of them. It's going to be Indiana and OKC that are going to be playing in the finals.
That is your official prediction, Indiana, Oklahoma
and
City.
I will say this, and this is not going to be a popular take, and maybe I'll Jesse this, and after I say it, I might backtrack because there's going to be a little smoke. But we have to, as Bucks fans and as state of Wisconsin sports fans, we don't have to root for Indiana, but we can't root for Minnesota. We cannot.
Let's go Wolves.
Can't do it.
Let's go Wolves.
You can. Yeah, no, I heard you.
The Pacers are much more a rival to the Bucks than the Timberwolves
Jesse,
are.
I understand it, but I don't think – I think there's something about Packer fans – that can't get on board with anything.
This has nothing to do with that.
It's totally
rooting
different.
For Justin Jefferson.
I am not rooting for a Minnesota sports team to win. I'm not.
They're not even in the same conference.
I'm not.
They're not even in the same league. They're in the NBA.
There's no type of historic rivalry between those two franchises at all.
Is rooting for the Pacers apropos to rooting for the Vikings?
Given the circumstances? No.
Yes.
I think, you know who it's like? It's like rooting for the Seahawks with Russell Wilson 10 years ago. That's who it feels the most similar to me.
You know I'm not doing that.
They're not necessarily. So. The Pacers are not a like long-standing rival of the Bucks, but they are the current competition rival in the Eastern Conference to the Bucks.
Make no mistake about it, they are the Bucks' biggest rival right now.
Yes.
Yeah,
just
no doubt.
Just like for like a 3 or 4 year window, the Seahawks were to the Packers more so than the Bears and the Vikings.
If I'm going to be honest with you, once Jokic got knocked out, my interest level is peaked.
You don't need to tell us that. We knew. NBA insider. We knew that was going to happen.
Thanks. Well, the French Open's coming up. I'm going to be much more involved with the French Open. Can Joker pull out another French? Can Joker get another French?
Do you just like athletes named Joker?
It seems like
Have we never realized that before?
Joker. Yes, I've mentioned that previously. All right, we're out of time.
Jesse, congrats. I don't think you have now turned Woe Nelly into milk, kind of milk toast Nelly. I am not. You are now so afraid. You're not going to say anything of any substance because you don't want to be critiqued.
In fairness, he didn't have a whole lot of opportunity here. This was commandeered discussion of your relationship with Evan. Like, he didn't really have a chance to be controversial.
I didn't bring Evan up. Jesse did. You think I would have brought up Evan Cohen on this if you didn't bring that up? And JC in a car? Like, I never would have brought
Jesse didn't bring it up either. It was a good text. He did publicly.
Oh, we lost Jason.
Oh, good stuff.
That's interesting.
All right, well, Jesse, you didn't. Kudos to you. You didn't fire anybody on Woe Nelly. We'll hopefully get Jason back connected. I think we're good on reads. If we're not, we'll get it in the next segment, which will be our last segment on Wildy and Tausch.
This is our crew.
At the track, at the wall, jumped up. Jackson Chario brought it back. Jackson!
Hear the sound of summer right here on 100.5 ESPN, Madison's home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
We appear to be already out of time. I'm back on the show. Hi. Just in time to say thanks for coming along for the ride with us. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.